Good morning. Last week, we had John's account of the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. We pass over a few verses about Jesus walking on the water, and we have today's gospel that is the introduction, the transition to the bread of life discourse that will comprise the rest of the sixth chapter of John. Then the next 2 weeks, we read that discourse, two different parts, beginning, I am the bread of life, and with an outline, and then again, I am the bread of life, same outline, different key. And then another week to record the reaction, first of the disciples, first of the crowd, and then of the disciples. That's 5 weeks. On one chapter. Now think about that for a minute. How many chapters are there in the four Gospels? Well, there's 16 in Mark and 24 in Luke, so that makes 40. There's 28 in Matthew and 22 in John, and that makes 50. That's a total of 90 chapters. Now, if we gave 5 weeks to each of the 90 chapters of the four Gospels, by my math, it would take 450 weeks to do the reading cycle. That's a long time. Do it the other way around. If you got a three-year reading cycle, which is 156 Sundays in 3 years, and you've got 90 chapters to put in there, then every chapter gets somewhere between a week and a half and 2 weeks. This chapter gets 5 weeks. There's a very definite emphasis being given to it. When the church is drawing up the lectionary cycle, they're saying to us, look at this one in particular. This is a very rich, very important chapter. So I suggest we do that. Read this chapter over these 5 weeks. This is a perfect time to go back to the old monastic practice that they call Lectio Divina, which still gets quoted in the Latin because divine reading sounds awkward and nobody's figured out a better sort of catchphrase for it. But it's not exotic at all. It's a simple four-step method of reading the Bible that we've talked about before. But in case you've forgotten, let me refresh your memory. Four steps. First of all, read it. Read it out loud. Read it as though you were a lector in church, proclaiming it, emphasizing it, putting it out there. Read it a second time. More quietly, more slowly, more meditatively. Read it a third time, perhaps skipping over places and lingering on others. Read it. Second step, think about it. What does it mean? What's the structure of it? What other scripture passages does it draw on? Sometimes that's obvious, like here in the middle of this one, the people actually quote, you know, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Sometimes it's just a turn of phrase that's reminiscent of something elsewhere in the Bible. What did it mean to John when he put it together this way, put it in this spot in the gospel? What does it mean to me now? Where does it fit into my life? What does it have to tell me? Think about it. It's called meditation, but that's all meditation is. Think about it. Third part. Talk about it. Prayer. Talk to God about it. God has spoken to me in the scripture in the reading part. I've talked to myself about it in the thinking part. Now I talk to God. I'll tell you something that I've added to the monastic technique, simply because of who I am. Might not be necessary for you, might help. They were living sort of in the context of God. Talking to God for them was the most natural thing in the world. Talking to God for me is not the most natural thing in the world. So if I do it in my head, I rapidly wander off course and wind up talking to myself again. I'm back into the thinking thing rather than the praying thing. So I prefer to do this alone, because if you do it in front of witnesses, you get an immediate psychiatric exam. And then do it out loud, as though God were sitting in the next chair. That helps keep me focused on the fact that I'm talking to God, not talking about God or talking to God. Pray it. Talk about it. And then fourth step is simply be quiet about it. God said what God needed to say. You've said what you need to say. Sit there and bask in each other's presence. You don't have to always have your mouth open to be in communication. Couples who've been married a while can sit in the same room, and just it's a whole different feeling being in the presence of your partner. It's something that's there. Be quiet in the presence of God. Be still, the scripture says, and know that I am God. Take those four simple steps. Read it, think about it, talk about it, be quiet about it. And do this chapter. Do it once a week for the whole 5 weeks, or the 4 weeks that are left. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Can take an hour easily if you've got an hour. Can be done in 6 or 8 minutes if that's all you've got. Chew on it. Let it open itself up for you. It's an important section. I am the bread of life. What does that mean? We'll hear in more detail next week and the week after what it means. But just already, what does it mean? What priority should it have in my life? Aren't I very much like these crowds? I spend much of my life chasing after bread. And that's a good thing to do. Starvation is not a particularly pleasant way to die. And earning food for the day, for tonight, it's an honorable thing to do. But it can tend to narrow your focus after a bit. All you're thinking about is getting the food, earning the money, stacking some more away so that when you can't earn the food, you will still have the money. It becomes constricting. What about the bread of life? Sir, give us this bread always. Do I really understand what the bread of life is? Do I really understand the role that it should have in my life, the place that it should have in my priority structure? Things to think about. Things to pray about. We'll come back next week and the week after and talk about the specifics of this bread of life discourse. But for now, let me just point out the very intense, narrow-beamed, focused spotlight that the liturgy is putting on this chapter, and in the way that we might respond to that, a little extra thought, a little extra prayer about the bread of life. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.